had coins in his pocket. And then they counted up the money, and they paid him much, much less than he should have been paid because they counted less copper coins. The Chabad Chaim says, this is the problem that we have with Tzedakah. We think that, oh my gosh, another ani, another organization, another charity, oh my gosh, I'm getting another, I'm going to lose out. So we take a few of those and we keep some of the coins by ourselves. We don't give too much Tzedakah, we keep by us. We don't realize that the more we give, the more we receive. Chazal say, it says, aser ka'aser, and Chazal explained, aser kedei shetit asher. You should give ma'aser in order that you should be wealthy. Counterintuitive. Give ma'aser. If I give 10% of my money away, so then I'm going to be less. I'll have less money. No. The more you give, the more you receive. It's a palindrome. You know what a palindrome is? There's a word that you can read it forwards and backwards, and it's the same. Vinatnu. And you will give. Or they give, right? So vinatnu is read forward and backwards the same way. Or natan is forward and backwards the same way. When you give, you really receive it. That's what people know. This is the one mitzvah where Chazal, the Navi says, Bachanuni na bazos, test me, right? Test me in this. I'm going to give you ugly die. There's so much you're not going to. This is the one mitzvah where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, test me. Go ahead, test me. Come on, test me. Give stuff and you'll see. And my wife and I, we do it all the time. We write down, as it says, you shouldn't approximate how much you give. You should actually make an exact according of how much you're giving. It says in Pirkei Avot. Right? You shouldn't approximate the maser. You should give an exact amount of what it is and record it. And then you see miraculously every month it comes out like, wow, that money came in exactly how much I gave. It's an amazing thing to see. If you test the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll see that when you give, you actually receive. It's an unbelievable thing. The story of my brother's not the most religious person, but he's a very religious neshama. And so one day, many years ago, he said, we were talking on the phone, he said, you know what, I'm going to give the yeshiva a donation. He was working at the time in mortgages, and he said, I'm going to give the yeshiva $1,500. So he said, and I'm sending the check FedEx right now, because I want to see how quick a Kodesh Baruch Hu works. It's a true story. So he sends the check, and right after he sends the check, he closes the deal on the phone, which made him $1,500. It was like this. And he called me right away. He goes, you cannot believe what just happened. I was like, of course he was. So that same year, I said it was Adar, and I said to him, you're going to have the best month of the year right now. You're going to have the best month. I said, trust me, it's going to be your best month. And when you have your best month, don't forget to cut it far and give stuff. So he had this best month ever. He said, how did you know? He says, what are you talking about? Adar, Aleph Dar. Kodesh Baruch Hu dwells amongst us. Special Siyata Deshmaya on Adar, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is with you. It says, if you have a court case with a non-Jew, do it in Adar, right? You know, don't do it in Av. What? Don't do it in Av, because it's a bad month for the Jewish people. So the Av is the exact opposite of Adar. Adar is good luck for the Jewish people. It says, I heard that in the halls a few times. So the full quote is Kishem Shenichnas Ad Mamatim Bisimcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Bisimcha. In the very same way that when Av comes in, we have less and less simcha, leading up to Tisha B'Av. So in the very same way, when Adar comes in, we have more simcha. So what's the connection between Av and Adar? What happened in Av? Of Tisha B'Av, leading up to Tisha B'Av, we have less and less simcha because Tisha B'Av marks the day that a Kodesh Baruch Hu's house was destroyed. Kodesh Baruch Hu's house was destroyed. And when that happened, the Shekhinah left Yerushalayim. The Shekhinah left Am Yisrael. It was very tragic. So, in fact, the whole vision of Yechezkel in the beginning of Sefer Yechezkel, the electrifying vision of this the Masa Merkava, the Merkava, the chariot lifting up over your Yerushalayim and leaving, that's really a description of the Shechina, leaving Yerushalayim. So the very same way that we're sadder on Adar, on Ad, we're happier on Adar, meaning that just like in Av, the Shechina left us, so too in Adar, the Shechina is returning to us. And that's what we always say, Adar is Aluf Dar, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu dwells amongst us. And that's also why I believe that we read Truma every single year after Rosh Chodesh Adar. The week that Adar comes in, we read Parsha Truma. Because Truma is about building a house for Hashem, Vasuli Mikdash, Vishakandi Bitucham. You're going to make a mikdash for Hashem, and He will dwell amongst you. So the Mincha Belula, Rabbi Avram Menachem Rapa, says, he asks the question also, why do we say, V'ichuli Truma, you should take a Truma, and not V'ichnuli Truma, you should give to a Kadosh Baruch Hu Truma. So he says something very interesting. He says that when a person gives to someone important, it's like he's really receiving. You give a gift to the king, that's a gift, it's an honor. It's an honor to give. So when you give to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's like receiving. And this halachically actually takes place. We know that when a guy marries a girl, so what does he have to do? Give her a ring, right? V'ibnula taba, right? So the Gemara says that if the person was an Adam Chashuv, so then if she would give him a ring, that would also be considered, that would be considered legal. Why? Because it's like her receiving something. When you give something to someone who's Chashuv, it's like you're receiving something. That's what the Mincha Belula says. The Malbim says something different. Says, and I think this is very essential about the whole mitzvah of building a Mishkan. It says that if it said V'ithnu Truma, right? So, and you should give, so then we would feel there's an obligation on everyone to give. Then it's not coming, Isha Sheyidvenu Libo. A person's not giving from his own heart. Rather, he's being commanded to give. Being commanded to give is not so good. Therefore, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, he commands the Gabayim to go around with the tzedakah, and anybody wants to give, can give, but we go, Bikhu. So the command is on the Gabayim to receive the truma, not on the people to give. So that way, anybody wants to give, can give. It's interesting, we have the two parshiyot now, truma and tzedakah. And it seems to be total opposite words. Truma means to give. Tetzava means command. Truma is that you want to give out of your own heart. It's not something you're obligated to do, it's something you want to do. Whereas tetzava is you're being commanded. And this is the dialogue, this is the tension constantly in Judaism. On one hand, we do things because we're commanded, we're told to do them. On the other hand, that's not what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do them because we want to do them, because we want to do for Kadosh Baruch Hu, we want to do the good in this world, we want to do mitzvah. Not because we're being threatened, you know, with a mountain over our heads, that if we don't do it, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to drop the mountain over our head. We want to do it. Therefore, there's this tension, there's truma and this tetzava. On one hand, we do it because we're commanded. On the other hand, what really comes first, what Kadosh Baruch Hu really wants, that's the truma. He wants us to give because we want to give, not because we're being commanded to give. Okay. Next idea. Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti bitocham. The pasuk says that a person should make for me a mikdash v'shachanti bitocham. There are two main words here. Mikdash and v'shachanti. Mikdash comes from what word? Kadosh or kedusha. And what does the word Mishkan come from? Shechina. Shechina. Very good. So you, in this world, one thing you cannot do is you cannot create Shechina. Shechina only a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives. Right? That's it. But we can do Kedusha. There are a lot of things that we can do to be Mekadosh this world, to make a Kiddush Hashem in this world. So if you, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Vasuli Mikdash, you do the Kedusha, and I'll bring the Shechina. You don't worry about that. If you do your part, I'll do my part. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu meeting us halfway. Where do we meet? We meet in the Mishkan. Okay. There are those who say that every mitzvah, even the ones that don't seem to apply today, really apply today. Even mitzvah which we can't really do physically in this world, still the idea applies today. One of those mitzvah is Vasuli Mikdash, that you should make a mikdash, you should make a house for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, but how can you do it? There's no Beit HaMikdash today. How do we do that? So those can say, yeah, you can make a big Knesset, you can build a shul, right? That's in the Mikdash Me'at, that's a smaller, right? Or yeshiva, for example, right? So that we try to do every day, to keep on building the yeshiva, that's nice. But we can't build a Mikdash. We can't build a Beit Mikdash today. There's Rav Hashem one day, we'll be able to build a Beit Mikdash, but right now we can't. So how does it apply? Vasu, you're thinking, yes we can, I see it in your eye. Let's build it right now. Let's go hard by hand. Okay, so Vasuli Mikdash. So there are those who say that if you make me, and then I make myself into a Mikdash, I can make myself into someone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides amongst him, in him. So that's a beautiful idea. Vasuli Mikdash, I should make a Mikdash in me. That's the Rabbi Mishkanemne. So that's Bilvavi Mishkanemna. In my heart, I'm going to build a Mikdash. This is not to say that that's what the halachic obligation is, but it's something that we can be mekayim even today, that we build in our heart a Mikdash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rest amongst us. Okay. There are many parts of the Mikdash. The Torah starts off, Vasu Aron Shitim. Aron Atzei Shitim. So what's interesting is that it says Vasu Aron Atzei Shitim, and in the other Kalim, you should Vasita Shulchan, Vedemishkan Ta'aseh, everything else, Vasita Menorah, everything else, Vasita this, Vasita, 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 but this one's Vasu. When it comes to learning Torah, this is upon everybody. It's not one person that's going to build the Aron, everyone together. We all have an obligation of Torah. It's interesting, on three Kalim, I'll give you a quiz. On three Kalim, it says that you should make on the Kli, on the vessel, Zer Zahav Saviv. You should make a crown of gold around it. What are the three vessels? Name it. Shochan, Aron. Namenorah. What?
Haruf.
No. Kli. You should know, it's not so hard. There's not so many Kli. What do you have there? You have the Shulchan, you have the Aron, and you have the Mizbeach. There are two Mizbeachs, right? Mizbeach Hazav has a crown around it, a golden crown around it. So Chazal say that there are three crowns, three Ketarim that are given to Am Yisrael. Keter Kehuna, Keter Malchut, and Keter Torah. So these are the three crowns. Keter Torah is the Keter and the Aron. Keter Kehuna is the Keter and the Mizbeach. Okay, remember that. Keter Kehuna is the Mizbeach. And Keter Malchut is the Shulchan. Why is that?
What's the Shulchan?
The table with the showbread.
Oh, that's
right. So you have to understand that first of all, every single leader of Am Yisrael had a function. The king, the melech, malchut, what is the main function of a king? And I'll give you a hint. It's the same main function as a prime minister or president. What is it?
Figure. To lead the people.
Yeah. For what's his function? What does he have to do? What's
the moral support for people.
What do they deal with most of the time?
Build a nation on judging.
Not judging, actually.
Battle.
The economy. Thank you. The economy. That's what lower taxes, raise taxes, right? That's what everyone's always talking about, right? What if I'm elected, I will lower taxes. You know, like it's all about money, about the economy, about the deficit. That's the most important thing. So therefore, the king is represented by the Shulchan, the Malchut. The Malchut is the bread. Bread represents, there's a reason why the nickname is like bread or dough. When you talk about money, you got some dough, you got some bread. Yeah, that's what it is. It's all about sustenance, sustaining the people. So that's it. In fact, where does David come from? Beit Lechem. He comes from Beit Lechem. Isn't that funny? Snap. So Shulchan is all about the Malchut. And the Mizbeach is about Kehuna, the Mizbeach Azav, or the Ketorah. And the Aron is about Torah. So those are the three Ketorim that are given. What's interesting is that Chazal say that the Aron, Eina Min HaMikdash, didn't take up any space. If you would go into the Kodesh Kedoshim, you would notice that it seems much bigger than it would seem from the outside. Right? It was one of these things that defied the laws of nature. How that works, we don't know. It's something that's it's supernatural. But the Aron didn't take up any space. In fact, what that means, What that implies is that if you would put 1,000 arons in the Kodesh, that little room called the Kodesh Kedashim, they would all fit in. Whereas the Mizbeach took up space. Whereas the Shulchan took up space. But the arm didn't take up space. Why is it so necessary that for this miracle the arm shouldn't take up space? To teach us the lesson that anyone can have the Keter Torah. Kohanim, only Kohanim can have the Keter Kohuna. Malachim is only one king, right? But Torah, everyone can have. Kol HaRotze Bali Tol. Anybody wants the Keter of Torah, they can get it. They can get it. If you recall, in Parshat Shmot, when we started off the Sefer, so there were midwives that saved the Jewish people. And who, according to Chazal, according to Rashi, who were these midwives?
Miriam
and Yocheved. And God decided to give them a reward. So God gave them a reward. V'yaslehem batim. And you see Rashi there, Rashi says, he made them homes. What houses did they make? So Rashi says, no. Rashi says, bate kahuna levia, bate malchut. And he gave them the houses of kahuna, levia, right, from Aaron and Moshe, and malchut. From Miriam also came malchut, right? From
Moshe.
Exactly. She married into Shevudan. So we have it's very interesting. So we have three Keterim. Keter Malchut, Keter Kahuna. What was the third Keter?
Torah.
Keter Torah. So if you're going to like say that, and they were Zochet to the Keter of Malchut, to the Keter of Kahuna, why not say they're Zochet to Torah? Who more than Moshe Rabbeinu? Yocheved, because of her act, she was Zochet to the decisor of Torah, to Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the Keter Torah. Why not say Keter Torah? Right? Bate Torah. The answer is, really, every single one in the world, it's not a Yerusha. It's not a Yerusha. Torah is not a Yerusha. You don't get it. If your father's a king, you may be a king. If your father's a Kohen, you're a Kohen, right? But if your father's a Talmud Chacham, that doesn't mean you're a Talmud Chacham. That's something you have to earn yourself. And anybody in the world can take that Keter Torah and put it in his head. Any single person, if he desires, he can have that Keter Torah. On the other hand, it's not a Yerusha. It's not something that comes to you automatically. And therefore, the Torah, the Aron, has no Mida. Inam in a Mida. It's very important. The Bala Turim mentions that if you look at the measurements of the Aron, you'll see as follows. Vasu Aron atzei shitim amatan v'chetzi orko v'ama v'chetzi rochbo v'ama v'chetzi komato. The Baal HaTurim points out, all the measurements are not complete. It is 2.5 length, 1.5 amma is width, and 1.5 is its height. But none of the measurements are shalom, none of them are complete. They're all halves. Why? Because when it comes to your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when it comes to your Avodas Hashem, don't ever think that you've reached the Shleimut. You're always in the middle. You always have more and more to do. You're never complete. When it comes to how much you could be, how great, don't think, oh, now I've done it. I've completed my Shana Aleph, or for the Limud guys, I've completed 1 month in Yeshiva, I'm done. That's it. I've reached my max. That's it. I have so much Torah knowledge now, I'm done. Or Shana Bet, I finished my Shana. No, even when you're 119 years old, you still got that extra year. There's more and more you can always do in your Avodas Hashem. There's more Torah to be learned constantly, there's more to do. And that's symbolized by the half measurement. The Mizbeach, on the other hand, if you see the Midah of the Mizbeach, they're all shalim. Mizbeach, every single Midah was shalim. Why is that? That they're there? Because when you go to the Mizbeach, you go to bring a korban. And when you bring a korban, you have to go to shalim. If you're going to be chozer b'tshuva, you have to be chozer b'tshuva completely. You want to bring a korban, you have to do tshuva gemura, tshuva shlema, right? And then you can bring a korban. That's tamim tiyah Hashem lokecha. You need to be complete with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So on one hand, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to be complete. On the other hand, realize that even when we're complete, we're not complete. There's still more we can do. Still more that we can grow, more we can be. The materials that were brought to the Beit HaMikdash to build the Mishkan are very fascinating. It says, "V'zot ha'trumah she'kumi itam zahav." Someone find a pattern for me, okay? These are what you have to give. Zahav, gold. Kesef, silver. Nechoshet, copper. Tchela, dyed wools. Argama, different dyed wool. Tolat Shani, red strings. V'sheish v'izim, and other different types of skins. About materials and skins. Varot Elim Adamim, the red skins. Varot Tchashim, we don't know what a Tchash is. Maybe it's a unicorn, probably not. Vatei Shitim, there's. And other types of acacia wood, right? Shemen Lamahor, oils, besamim, spices, Lashemen Mishnah Torah Tzamim. Any pattern there? Very nice. Well done. It's going down in value. The only problem is, you would be absolutely correct until we get to this pasuk. The next pasuk says, Avnei Shoam v'Avnei Miluim. These were precious stones. Probably worth much, much more their weight in gold, right? Than their weight in gold, right? So why are the precious stones, the Or HaChaim asks so beautifully, why are the precious stones saved to the end? So the Targum Uziel says as follows. Yonatan Uziel says as follows. He says that in a different place that it says the Nesiim brought these stones. Who brought these stones? The Nesiim brought these stones. Who are the Nesiim?
The princes of each tribe.
The princes of each tribe. Very good. That's the pshat. However, the Medrash says that, and this is what the Targum Uziel quotes, that Nesiim is written without a yud. To teach you, it's not the Nesiim them. No, no. It is the Nesiim. There's a pasuk which is used in Chazal to tell us that Nesiim means clouds. Means clouds. I'm losing my memory. Ruach, the Geshemayim. Ruach, the Nesiim, the Geshemayim. Yesh pasuk hazeh. Ruach, the Nesiim, the Geshemayim, that there was wind, that there were clouds, but there's no rain, right? So Nesiim means clouds also, which makes sense, because Nesiim means lifted up high. Clouds are high. People who are amongst, you know, who are the presidents, right? They are lifted up high. So Nesiim are clouds, it also means clouds. It says the Medrash that the clouds brought, they would have to bring everything, and they didn't have stones for the breastplate, for the shoulder, right? So what were they going to do? The clouds brought these precious stones. So says the Or HaChaim, now I understand. The stones are the least valuable of all. Why? Because there was no effort on man to bring the stones. Kadosh Baruch Hu, more than the value, the intrinsic value of a metal or of a piece of cloth or of skins or other artifacts, right? More than that, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants your hearts. He wants your efforts. He wants your that's much more valuable. So even the precious stones, they're last on the list because they're not so valuable. Okay. There's an interesting fact about the Aron. We know that the Aron had on it poles, right? It says, "Ve'beket abadim betabot atzlo daron asek daron behem." And you should bring the poles, and the poles were used to carry the Aron. But then it says, "Me'liyatu betabot daron yu badim lo yasuri menu." That you have to put the poles in the holes and never take them out. The poles have to be there all the time. Why do the poles have to be in the Aron all the time? You would think, when would you think you should have put the poles in?
When you're carrying it.
When you're not carrying it, what should you do?
Take them out.
Take them out from inside. And the Torah says, no, the poles have to be there all the time. Why? Because I'll tell us.
Sure, everything in this world is just temporary.
And therefore?
Well, we should get attached to the physical side of things. Wasn't there like a thing where Bnei Israel started worshiping the Aron itself as opposed to what it represented?
It could be, but I don't know what that has to do with the poles. What Chazal say, though,
it's like you should always be ready, like it's temporary. Like,
you're ready to carry on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. I would say on that, I would say it could teach us the lesson that we should always be carrying the Torah. The Torah is never just resting. You're never resting from the Torah. You're always carrying the Torah with you. Wherever you go, you're carrying the Torah. But Chazal say something else. Chazal say that someone translate these words for me, okay? Ha'aron nose et nosav.
The travel that's travel?
No. No, not nose.
Travel itself?
Not nosea with the nine, but nose.
Nose like
carry.
Carry. Aaron nose et nosav.
It
carries, right? It carries those who carry it. So, like you said, the story Chazal teaches us from the Pesukim that when Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yarden to go into Eretz Yisrael, 40 years after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, so the Kohanim carried the Aaron, and they sort of like flew across the water. You know, like they, you know, it went first. You know, they were, the Aaron was carrying those that carried it. That it's quite an amazing thing to think about. That they, you look at them, it looks like people are carrying the Aaron. They really, no. The Aaron's carrying the people. And that was what's quite incredible. So the poles being in there all the time is coming to teach you that don't think that the poles are there, that you only use it when you need to carry it. No. The Aaron's carrying you. It's like what they say, more than the Shabbat, more than the Jews have kept Shabbat throughout the years, the Shabbat has kept the Jews. Shabbat has watched over the Jews. We think we're keeping Shabbat. No, Shabbat is keeping us. It's helping us survive. But the idea that the Torah is there, the Torah is carrying us. We're not carrying the Torah. Same idea. The Rambam says that there was a kli called the menorah. You've heard of the menorah, right? What do you do with the menorah? You light it. So when would you think you should light the menorah?
At night.
So you light the menorah at night. And what about the daytime? You don't need to light it. You don't need the light. So, Rambam says, no. The menorah was lit during the day also. It would always be lit. Why is it always be lit? So you don't think that the reason why we light the menorah is to give you light in the Beit HaMikdash. Right? It's there to show you that the Shekhinah is Rabbi Yisrael. That the Shekhinah dwells amongst Am Yisrael. So now that you mentioned Hanukkah, maybe I'll just mention something beautiful about that. It's a big question why we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days. By the way, the in Hanukkah we don't light a menorah. We light a Hanukkiah. Right? Exactly. And the menorah had 7 branches. The Hanukkiah has 8 plus 1 is 9, so it's not the same thing. So why do we light? So remember that the oil lasts for 8 days. And everyone asks the question, wait a minute. What?
Miracle
is
only 7.
Like,
Hanukkah for 1 day.
Sorry, that's one question also. That's the major question that everyone asks. But there's another question that we ask, is that why are we celebrating the miracle of Hanukkah for 8 days because of the oil? We know that the real reason why we're celebrating Hanukkah, that we say Hallel on Hanukkah, is because we had a military victory. What are we celebrating? Is it the oil a miracle? We don't make holidays for every miracle that happens, right? Why specifically in Hanukkah are we such focused on the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days? And the focus is not so much on the military victory. In fact, when we talk about the miracle in Shemoneh Esrei, we really mention the military victory. That's the main thing. When we want to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the military victory. That's what we're celebrating. That's the holiday. You make a holiday when we're going to be killed, and Kadosh Baruch Hu saves us through miraculous military victory. Yeah, like the Six-Day War. The Six-Day War. So it was a miracle. How long did it last?
6 days.
Just testing. So that's and like what?
4 hours.
And the war was pretty much over. Oh, you heard last night. Right? So it was won pretty quickly. It was a miracle. They were digging mass graveyards before the war because they thought for sure that it was going to be a horrible massacre, and then there was no way we were going to win this war. And people were like, "Shut the lights up when you leave." You know, in 1967, that was the feeling. And it was a great miracle. So we celebrate on Yom Yerushalayim. We have a big tefillah. We say Hallel, the military victory. So what makes this focus on the oil? So, what is an amazing thing is that there was a miracle every week in the Beit HaMikdash. That they would light the menorah, and the Ner HaMaravi would stay lit from Erev Shabbat until Erev Shabbat. Right? The Ner would be lit from Erev Shabbat to Erev Shabbat. Every week in the Beit HaMikdash, this happened, this miracle happened. Then the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. When the Makamim came back, they only had one flask of oil, but they wanted to see, is it going to last for 8 days or not? And they lit it, and it lasted for 8 days. When it lasted for 8 days, they knew that the Shekhinah had returned Because the menorah, the fact that the menorah is lit in the Beit HaMikdash is a sign that the Shekhinah dwells amongst us. So when that flask lasted for 8 days, they understood that the Shekhinah had returned, and that's what we're celebrating in Purim on Tavshin. We're celebrating the fact that the Shekhinah returned to the Beit HaMikdash. It was not just a military victory. That itself is enough to celebrate. But the fact that the Shekhinah returned to Am Yisrael after them putting, the Greeks putting like an idol in the Beit HaMikdash and bringing pigs in the Beit HaMikdash and desecrating it and defiling it, that the Shekhinah would return, that itself was a reason to celebrate. So there's a medrash that when Yitzchak married Rivka, so he brought her into the tent, right? Ohela Sara Imo. And the pasuk is written funny, that he brought her into the ohel of his mother, Sarah. But it says, he brought her into the ohel, Sarah, his mother. That's what the pasuk you translated, if you translated that. So Rashi there quotes that when he brought her in, oh, all of a sudden she was just like Sarah. That all along when Sarah was alive, there were three miracles that happened. There was a ner daluk me'erev Shabbat and erev Shabbat. Anan ba'ohel, anan kashur la'ohel. And there was the bracha shebe'isa. There were these three things that happened. When Sarah died, these three miracles ceased. When Rivka came into the tent, they all came back. So one of those was ner daluk me'erev Shabbat and erev Shabbat. What are Chazal describing when they describe these three miracles? They're describing the Beit HaMikdash. They're describing the Mishkan from this week's Parsha. Ner daluk me'erev Shabbat and erev Shabbat, that was the menorah. That was the menorah. Bracha shebe'isa, that is the Shulchan. That the Shulchan, the Lechem Apanim, there was a great miracle that it stayed fresh all week long. There was a bracha in the dough. They didn't have back then yeast, right? And preservatives that would keep the bread fresh all week. And yet the bread was fresh. Like it was just baked yesterday, all week long. And Anan Kashur La'ohel, this is the Anan HaKtoret. The Anan that was attached, they said that the Ketoret was a miracle. If you would be around at the time of the first bite, they recorded this. The smoke went straight up, like a cloud that was attached. It went straight up. It was like a miracle that happened. These were three miracles that happened in the Beit HaMikdash. What Chazal are saying is that what it's...
Yeah.
Can you put me on dating and marriage?
Yo, I am taking a nap
because we're not actually going to start for at least another half hour.